The reading today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 32. We read in verses 1 to 12. For anyone who hasn't got sight of a Bible, just at the end of the previous chapter, we read that Moses is to address the whole assembly of Israel. And he says, "Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. They have acted corruptly towards him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders and they will explain to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him."
Thank you, Steve. Do keep that passage open. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and our minds and soften our hearts and enable us to understand and receive your word, that we may be more like the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. How do you know you're going to keep going as a Christian? How do you know you'll make it to heaven? Are you a good Christian? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you live for Christ? Do you tell others about him? Are you confident that you are so good you'll make it to heaven? The same issue faced God's people in Deuteronomy 32. The issue for them was, how did they know they would make it to the promised land? That they would be blessed, that they would prosper in the promised land. God had told them that if they chose to live for him, if they chose life, in chapter 30, verse 19, they could avoid God's curse and enjoy God's blessing. All they have to do is live God's way. That's not too difficult, is it? Well, look at verse 5. They have acted corruptly towards him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. How can anyone know God's blessing and escape God's curse? Are you good enough? I'll tell you what we're like. We enjoy God's presence in church. We hear him in his word. We talk to him in prayer. we remember that we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. And then we get back in the car and the kids wind us up, or something someone has said upsets us and the blessing is snatched from us. We enjoy God and then we sin. That's what we're like. I have no confidence that I can live the Christian life in my own strength. I have no confidence that I can make it to heaven if going to heaven depends on me. Israel, in verse 5, is faithless. And I'm faithless again and again. And I'm afraid you're faithless too. What is the hope of faithless people? The hope of faithless people is the faithfulness of God. That's what we're looking at this morning. The faithfulness of God. See, I've disobeyed God countless times. It happens every day. I let go of God in my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds. But glory to God, He never lets go of me. He is faithful despite me, again and again. I know that I will get to heaven because God will keep me in Christ until that day. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then He'll bear me safely over, all my joys in Him complete. Or in the words of Jesus in John 10, 27 to 29, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. We have a faithful God. Jesus knows us. He gives us eternal life. We shall never perish. Not because we are good, but because He is faithful. The Father gave us to the Son before the creation of the world, and we are held in the hand of Jesus and held in the hand of the Father. We are held in the hand of the faithful God. This is such good news, isn't it? I feel such a disaster. I don't know about you, but I feel so likely to let go of God. But He is holding on to me. He is my faithful God. The context of these verses is that the people are standing on the threshold of entering the promised land. And Moses has been preaching to them. Deuteronomy is basically three sermons of Moses. And finally, Moses writes a song for them. A song is a brilliant way to learn truth. I remember when I was a boy, my mother made songs out of things I had to learn for school. And we would dance around the house singing them. Learning became fun. When you sing in church, you're learning theology. That's why it's very important that we sing songs which teach the truth. This song, however, has a very serious purpose. It's a way of holding the people to account in chapter 31, verse 19. The song begins with a call to listen, verse 1. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. This teaching is so important, that the whole of creation must listen to it. Verse 2. Let my teaching fall like rain, and words descend like the dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. That's what Bible teaching should be like. It should refresh you. It will challenge us. It will always challenge our sin. It will always call us to repent and to trust in Christ. And, not but, it will refresh us. It refreshes me morning by morning to open God's word. It refreshes me when I prepare teaching for you. It's like rain. Have you ever been in Wales or Ireland? It's very green. It's very green. The grass is very lush because there is lots of rain. Last summer, my lawn hardly grew. This summer, I could mow it twice a week. That's the effect of rain. And Bible teaching is like rain. Makes you lush, makes you healthy, causes you to grow like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. That's the introduction. Now 2 points. The faithfulness of God, the faithlessness of people. Firstly then, the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 3. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. See, it's not enough to believe in the faithfulness of God as a private thing. The faithfulness of God must be proclaimed. As I've proclaimed to you the faithfulness of God this morning, if you're a believer, your heart will have warmed to the theme. You will have been saying, thank you, God, that you are a faithful God. Thank you that you remain faithful when I am faithless. This is the purpose of proclamation. This is the purpose of praise. It stirs us up. It's the same in evangelism. Evangelism is essentially proclaiming God. Even if we do that in a low-key conversational way. I've been watching my son play cricket a lot this summer. And at the start of the season, I started trying to talk about God with the other dads. And a very interesting thing happened. Some of them were not interested. Some of them quickly changed the subject. One man got out of his chair and walked away without even excusing himself. But other dads warmed to the theme. Until by now, I've had some really good conversations. This is what happens when we copy Moses in verse 3. When we proclaim the gospel. When we praise God. The Holy Spirit wakes people up spiritually. The Holy Spirit creates spiritual hunger and interest in people. He creates spiritual life. And he does that as the word is proclaimed. So follow Moses' example in verse 3. Now look at our faithful God, verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. God is a rock. What's that saying? Near Bridgend, where I come from, is a really beautiful beach. It's called Ogmore by Sea. It's stunningly beautiful. And where the cliffs lead down to the beach, there are rocks. My children love playing on them. I loved playing on them as a child. Can you picture these rocks? They're great, big, massive things. You couldn't move one. They are the epitome of stability. God is like that. He is immovable. He is dependable. All around us may fall apart, but God is our rock. Is that a word for anyone here this morning? Does your world seem to be falling apart? God is your rock. The reason he allows our world to fall apart is so that we come to trust in him. To trust in him as the only dependable thing. The only dependable one. Some of us heard Paul Tripp at New Word Alive and at the Evangelical Ministry Assembly. He's a very engaging speaker. We're going to run his marriage course in the autumn. Paul Tripp describes how one day he got the phone call every parent dreads. His 24-year-old daughter had been run down by a drunk driver who mounted the pavement. She was in intensive care in hospital. Paul Tripp fell apart. But he prayed this prayer. God, I don't want to doubt your goodness. When our world is falling apart, we must not doubt God's goodness. We must discover that God is our rock. His works are perfect. That's sometimes hard to believe, but they are. God's purposes for our lives are perfect. God's works in the world are perfect. He created a perfect world. It was we who spoiled it through sin. This is our faithful God. All his ways are just. I'm so glad that God will faithfully administer justice. I'm glad there will be a day of judgment. I'm glad sin will be punished once and for all. Even though that entails belief in hell. I need to know there is a God of justice. And verse 4, that he is a faithful God who does no wrong. He does no wrong. God, why have you allowed this to happen? He does no wrong. Have you ever been so desperate, so angry, so ready to give up on God? God says, he does no wrong. He makes no mistakes. You and I have to find God's good purpose in the mess of our lives. He does no wrong. Romans 8:28 says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Whatever you're going through, God does no wrong. In fact, he's working for your good if you love him, and if you've submitted to his purpose for your life. He does no wrong. In eternity, when you're in heaven, enjoying God forever, you will see how everything he did in your life and in the world was right. But we can't see it now. That's the problem. That's the difficulty. For now, we must take him at his word that he does no wrong. Upright and just is he. In other words, there is no moral imperfection in God. As I said earlier, when we've been at our very noblest, when we've behaved at our very best, we can then, almost immediately, have an impure thought, or swear, or be unkind, or be dishonest. We do all sorts of things which are wrong. Not so with God. Upright and just is he. Oh, to know this God who never sins, who never does anything wrong, to love him, to adore him, to worship him, to become like him. This is our faithful God. That brings us, secondly, to the faithlessness of people, verse 5. They have acted corruptly towards him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. This is the problem with sin. We cannot be God's children if we sin. You know that song, "He's got the whole world in his hands." What's the premise of that song? The premise is that we're all God's children. And there is a sense in which that's true. But the Bible teaches that sin separates us from the holy God. If we sin, we cannot be God's children. And we all sin. So how can any of us be God's children? Hold that question, we'll come back to it. For now, understand this. Sin separates us from God. It stops us being God's children. Verse 6. "Is this the way you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people?" I ask myself this question all the time. Is this the way I repay the Lord? When he's been so kind and good to me, and I continue to sin? Is this any way to repay the Lord? Is he not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you? In other words, do you not owe God everything? Did he not give us life? How can we turn our backs on him and disobey him? But we do. But there is hope. Look at verse 7. "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you. Your elders and they will explain to you." I'm very blessed to come from a long line of Christians. My great-grandmother was converted in the Welsh Revival of 1904. She used to walk her children for miles across the fields to get to church. During the preaching of the word in our chapel, she and the other converts of the revival would stand up and start praising the Lord. So caught up were they in wonder, love and praise. She was a spiritual woman who loved the world, the word. And this left a wonderful legacy for us as a family. I used to discuss the things of God with my grandfather. He knew Martin Lloyd-Jones. You're impressed, aren't you? His brother, my great-uncle, was a missionary to India, where he buried his baby with his own hands. The things of God are written into our family. I can indeed talk to my elders and have the faithfulness of God explained to me. We can do that here in Christchurch. We have faithful saints, faithful soldiers of Christ, who've walked with him many years. God has been faithful in the past, and God will be faithful in the future. Verse 8, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided up mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the sons of Israel. God established the nations. God established Israel. Verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is his allotted inheritance. What's God looking forward to in the new creation? We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, to perfect sinless characters and perfect pain-free bodies, and we're looking forward to seeing Jesus. What is God looking forward to? He's looking forward to you. Jacob is his inheritance. Jacob stands for the people of God. Jacob was one of the founders of the people of God, along with Abraham and Isaac. Jacob is God's inheritance. You are God's inheritance. You and I are the reason Christ died. The Bible says Jesus will look on his work and be satisfied. Jesus will be satisfied in heaven because his people will be there. The ones he died to save will be there. Jacob is his inheritance. Verse 10, look at God's care for his people. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Christian believer, you are the apple of God's eye. He protects you. Verse 11, as an eagle protects its young. Verse 12, God alone leads us. Foreign gods never helped anyone. We have a faithful God. And we are faithless people. So we ask the question, how can any of us be God's children? We sin. This cuts us off from God. The answer lies in the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to his character and faithful to his word. It's God's character to save. He is the savior of his people. God is faithful to his character. God is faithful to his word. God has said, John 3:16, whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is God's faithful character. That is God's faithful word. What you and I must do is take God on the basis of his character at his word. If you will trust in Christ this morning, trust that he has died and risen to save you, you will be a child of God. You will know this faithful God. He will be faithful to you. He will be faithful to you. He is faithful to you. Even when we are not faithful to him. Let's pray. Father, we don't really know how to begin to thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, you are such a good God. God. And we are so sorry that we are unfaithful to you, day in, day out, hour by hour. Please forgive us, cleanse us, renew us. Grant us, Lord, to grow in our faithfulness to you in response to your faithfulness to us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.